Yeah, I love you, baby girl. And so, as you know, we're going through Jeremiah. We are in a wonderful chapter, chapter 24. It's probably the shortest chapter in the book of Jeremiah. It's only 10 verses. And by the grace of God, we'll get through with it tonight. It's God is giving Jeremiah another vision tonight, and it's about figs, good figs and bad figs. And when I was reading this, what came to my mind is when God separates the sheep from the goats, the good flock from the bad flock, the good fish from the bad fish. And every time God is working in a situation, He's always trying to draw people closer to Him. We, in our prayer list tonight, we went over some really hard things. But God is allowing these things to happen that the people of God would draw closer to Him. That we would learn to truly depend on Him, that we would learn to let go of this world, this wicked evil that is living in this world right now, and that we would come to the very Word of God to find our strength, to find our hope, to find Christ and Christ alone. Because our worrying about the transgender problem, right, that mental illness, our worrying about the murders that are going on, our worrying about the schools and the things that are happening, worry is not going to change anything. We have weapons that are powerful and they're mighty for pulling down strongholds. And when the church, that's why that Chronicles 7:14 is so important. If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then He will hear from heaven and heal the land. Justin's mom was talking to me about her church and how things are just not right there. You know, folks fighting about which chairs to sit in. You know, this is my pew. I've been sitting here since 1922 or whatever. Come on. We don't have a sign. If you're going to a church that has an assigned seat, stop. You know, just stop. I mean, that sounds like kid stuff, you know? You know, you got two kids in the back seat. They each got a window, but they're fussing on which window they're looking out. Yeah, come on. The church has problems. See, our problem isn't the world and what the world's doing. It really isn't. The world's always been the world. The evil's always been in the evil of the world. But we're supposed to be in the world, but not part of the world. What I'm seeing in the church today is that we're more part of the world than we are part of Christ, right? And God's trying, He's making a dividing line. He's making a separation. You know, those who really believe in Him and want to follow Him want the blessings of God through the obedience of the Word of God, and those who don't. And those who don't, it's going to get really worse for them. And so, chapter 24 is where we're at tonight. And the Lord speaking to Jeremiah, and the Lord showed me, and behold, two baskets of figs were set before the temple of the Lord. After that, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had carried away captive Jehoiakim, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, and the princes of Judah, with the carpenters and the smiths, from Jerusalem, and brought them to Babylon. One basket had very good figs, and like the figs that are first ripe. And the other basket had naughty figs, which could not be eaten. They were so bad. Then the Lord said unto me, what seest thou, Jeremiah? And I said, figs, the good figs, and very good, and evil, very evil, that cannot be eaten. They are so evil. And again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, thus saith the Lord, the Lord, the God of Israel, like these good figs, so I acknowledge them that they are carried away captive of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place into the land of the Chaldeans for their good. Did you see what he said there? I'm taking the ones that were obedient to me, that were following my words, the good figs. I'm taking them out, and I'm going to bring them to Babylon, to the Chaldeans, for their good. for their good. I'm going to remove you. See, your sin still needs to be dealt with, because that's the whole book of it about Jeremiah. God's trying to deal with the sin of a nation. He says, listen, the ones that, and think of this, who were the ones that went to Babylon? Daniel, his three buddies, the prophets, you know, they all went, they went to Babylon, they went north. The others went south. They went into Egypt, and those really had a bad, well, they're the bad figs, and we're going to read about that. When God comes, he's going to separate the good from the bad. He's going to separate the good fish from the bad fish, and Jesus talks about it in Matthew chapter 25, I think it's all in Matthew 25, about the separation of the sheep and the goats, the good fish, the bad fish. I think all that's in 25. And so he says, when he comes on that day, he's going to draw in the net, and he's going to separate it. He's going to gather it into their little baskets, and he's going to separate the good fish from the bad fish. The bad fish he's going to cast out where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. The good fish he's going to bring them into his treasure, into his a place of rest. He's going to do the same thing with the sheep and the goats. He's going to take the sheep, he's going to bring them into their rest, and he's going to take the goats, and he's going to throw them out where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's going to be really hard. Now, on both sides of that, it doesn't seem pleasurable to the flesh. Right? When Nebuchadnezzar came in and he took the good figs with him, they still had hooks in their jaws. Right? Nebuchadnezzar didn't say, oh, you good guys, follow me and we're going to do the Pied Piper thing and we're just going to walk away. No, he came in with an invading army. He encamped around Jerusalem. He set a siege around Jerusalem. You see that in the book of Ezekiel, you know, with where Ezekiel had to lay on his right side for so long, on his left side for so long, for the sin of Judah and Jerusalem, and had to set a siege around himself, all those things. And that's exactly what's going to happen. Jeremiah is getting a foresight of what's going to happen. He says, listen, this Nebuchadnezzar's coming. He's coming. He's going to surround Jerusalem. There's going to be a lot of weeping. There's going to be a lot of wailing. But God is gleaning out. He's going to pull out the good. It doesn't say it got pleasant for those people that went. But God said, I'm doing it for your good.
It's like a paradox.
It is.
God says, for your good, you go to that. It's how many times does the Lord speak with paradoxes?
Yeah. Parables, paradoxes, all those things. To be rich, you need to be poor. You know, to be first, you need to be last.
Yep.
Right? Those, you know, those type of things. Yeah. They're throughout the Word of God.
Yep.
And what it takes to grasp that is you have to have faith. You've got to believe that whatever God, again, all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are called for His purpose. Right. Even the bad things that we're going through, we need to have our focus on Jesus Christ. These families that lost their children and those husbands and wives that lost their spouses, that mother and father that lost their daughter during this shooting, right? It was wicked. In my flesh, I can't see good. I really can't. I can't see it. I'll be honest with you. But I trust God. God says He's going to work this thing out for good. Right? When Nebuchadnezzar surrounded Jerusalem and put the siege against it, they ran out of food. They ran out of water. Ezekiel says that they were eating their own children. It got that bad until Nebuchadnezzar finally breached the wall and took out the ones. And there's those who fled, and we're going to look at that here in just a minute, that went away, and God still went after them. But see, the Lord said it was for their good, verse 6, for I've set mine eyes upon them for good, and I will bring them again into this land, and I will build them and not pull them down, and I will plant them and not pluck them up, and I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. For they shall return unto me with their whole heart. Wow. That's the promise for the good figs. Yeah. It doesn't say it's going to be easy. God says, I know what it's going to take to make the good figs, the ones who are seeking me, who desire me, who love my word, I'm going to bring them out with a mighty hand, but I'm going to preserve them. Again, I know the plans that I have for you for good, not for evil, right? To prosper you, to bring you into a land, right? And we know those scriptures. It's 29, right, of this book, chapter 29. And so so he has the good figs and the evil figs. He says, in like manner, verse 8, and as the evil figs which cannot be eaten, they are so evil. I love the way King James put this. It doesn't say they're bad. He says they are evil. There are some folks that are just evil. They're not bad figs. They're evil figs, right? And I've eaten a lot of fruit, and I've eaten some bad fruit. I've eaten some wax fruit in my day, you know. Didn't realize it was wax until I couldn't get my teeth out of it, right?
Think. Just a thought.
Yes.
When Pharaoh had his dream,
mm-hmm.
and he had the fat
yes.
fleshy fish and the seven,
yep. ears. Cows, fat did cows, skinny ears.
Did he say evil too? They were so evil?
Yes, yeah. And in the interpretation of the dream, it was they were called evil. Yeah.
This dream with,
It really does. And God's going to separate the precious, the good figs from the evil figs. They're not just spoiled. They're not just bad. They're not just past their age. They were evil from their very onset. And in America, there are folks that are born again, that trust the Lord, that read His Word, that are anticipating His coming. And in this time, and we know from the Scripture, from Daniel, and from the Revelation, that there's going to come one that's going to persecute the church, going to make war with the saints, and have victory over them. He is going to conquer. It's not going to look pretty. Over the next few years, what God is going to do to this land, because the head of the land is evil. All right, it's evil. Our when grandparents and parents are bringing their children to be mutilated, that's evil. It's just evil. In the schools where they're teaching this perversion, there's other words. I'm trying real hard because we got young folks in the church tonight. This wicked perversion of something that God made beautiful. Sexual relationships, if they are done in the construct of the Bible, they are beautiful. It's a one man, one woman for life, right? They're married, and it is the most beautiful, wonderful thing there ever is. But quick as you do it outside of those confines, quick as you do it outside of the way that God intended it to be, it becomes this evil fig that is good for nothing. You know, there are people outside standing in the snow tonight for the abortion clinic. What would happen if folks stop having sexual relationships outside of marriage? Really, what would happen? In the church, all right? What would happen if the church, not the world, if the church stopped, the Bible calls it fornicating, all right? If the church would stop that. Do you know that abortion is just as prevalent in the church? Divorce is just as prevalent in the church as it is in the world today? Folks, there's something wrong. There's something wrong here. It's not supposed to be this way for the people of God. And it's almost like there is no fear of the Lord. There's no reverence, or very little reverence. Of course, there are some good spots. There's some good figs, right? There's some good figs. But when God sends this judgment on a nation, and think about what America worships. Think about what the kids right now worship. Their cell phones, TikTok, right? Twitter, all of All of those, all of that stuff. Now, is the internet all bad? Some would say no. I say yes. I really do. Alan and I were talking yesterday. There was a time when we could do mathematics in our mind, you know. And quick as they come out with calculators, I got dumber. You know, I couldn't cipher anymore. My Gozinsis didn't work any like I used to. I mean, I didn't get to a lot of high school, lot of education, but I did have to memorize the multiplication tables, right? And I used to be able to just rattle them off. I can't do that no more. You know why? I'll get out my calculator and find out what 2 times 2 is. 1 and 1 are 11, right? but see, that something that's supposed to make things easier doesn't necessarily make things good, right? God makes things good. Struggle makes things good. Fighting against your flesh makes things good. Right? Walking in the Spirit makes things good. And those things that are good, God calls them good. They're good figs. They're usable in the hands of the Lord. And although he's going to bring them into bondage for 70 years, he says, I have a plan for you. I have a way. This is going to work out for a benefit for those who follow you. But the evil ones, he's going to do differently. In verse 8 again, and as for the evil figs, which cannot be eaten, they are so evil, surely thus saith the Lord, so will I give Zedekiah, the king of Judah, and his princes, the residue of Jerusalem. Catch that. The residue of Jerusalem. So some in Jerusalem are going to go with Zedekiah and Judah. Right? Not everybody in Jerusalem's good. Not everybody in the church is good. There are a lot of folks go to church. They ain't right with God. And so anyhow, the residue of Jerusalem that remain in this land, and then them that dwell in the land of Egypt, and I will deliver them to be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth for their hurt. Wow. To be a reproach and a proverb and a taunt and a curse in all the places where I shall drive them. And I shall send the sword and the famine and the pestilence among them, and they will be consumed from off the land that I gave unto them and to their fathers. Wow, right? What else can you say there? God says, I know that he's the good figs, he's going to remove them out of the land for their good. The bad figs, he's going to remove them out of their land for their good. For their evil, for their hurt, not for their good, not for their health. And he says, God's going to send the sword, God's going to send the famine, God's going to send the pestilence among them, and he will consume them out of the land. Question is, do you want to be a good fig or a bad fig? You want to be a good fish or a bad fish? Want to be a sheep or a goat? Remember what it took to be considered the good sheep in Matthew 25. Remember what they had to do? When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was in jail, you visited me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was hungry, you know. And they did that work. And they did it not out of seeking a reward. The reward was the opportunity to do it. And then in their life, it doesn't say they received a reward. Not one. But in their death, in the resurrection, they received great rewards. The ones who said, well, why didn't we? Why couldn't we? He said, because you didn't do these things. And since you didn't do these things, there is no blessing for you. There is no reward for you. You're going to be cast out where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. I fear for the church, just like Jeremiah is fearing for Jerusalem and for Judea, because he knows the might and the power in the hand of the Most High God. And it's not going to be pretty. But do you trust God enough that no matter when the economical system of America crashes, right? And I think we're really, really close to that. I really do. I think that we're right at the precipice where this is going to happen. And they're going to change our money, our cash money, into this cryptocurrency kind of a thing, and it's all going to be done on a card. And folks, it's It's going to be hard. It really is. Especially if you refuse to get involved with that. Right? Say, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to take the credit card given by the government. I'm going to learn how to depend on the church. I'm going to learn how to depend on one another. I'm going to learn how to depend on Christ. I'm going to learn how to work the land that God told me how to work. And I'm not going to get involved in the financial and the political realms as God drags these bad figs into a place where there's pestilence and wickedness. Inside of the house of the Christians, we need to really be socking down, really digging down right now. Because as Jesus talked about, the house built on the shifting sand and the house that was built on the solid rock, we need to be on that rock. To get on that rock, you have to dig down and really build your house, your whole structure, on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, because everything else is going to shift. Everything else is going to move. And not even talking about the whole wars and rumors of wars. Folks, we're about ready to get in a war with China and Russia. Do you understand that? I see it boiling in the back. And unless God holds back, that's what's going to happen. And when that happens, folks, 1930 didn't seem nothing to what's going to happen. We need to know how to tend to one another. We need to know how to love one another. We need to know how many chickens Wendy just got. And it'll take 6 months, right? We got, you know. And so all of those things, I think that God, the reason that we're right here, right now, in this book, is God wants the church to know that there is a dividing. There's two baskets of figs. Notice they're all figs, right? He didn't say there's a basket of turnips, and there's a basket of carrots, and they're figs, all right? And these figs, there's some good ones, there's some bad ones. But they're equal, right? So some are good, some are bad, but they're just figs. You know what you are? Figs. Either you're a good fig or you're a bad fig. You're a figgy Newton. I couldn't resist. I love the figgy Newton guy. Anyhow, but we could get into chapter 25, but it's already 8 o'clock. And so, in this understanding of chapter 24, know that God knows the difference between the good figs and the bad figs. And you know something? The individual knows the difference between the good figs and the bad figs. So you make sure, as best you can, in the Word of God, to align on the right side of God. Is there a kingdom coming? Amen. There is. And when that kingdom comes, there will be a dividing, right? You'll either be in or you'll be out. And I don't know if we'll be alive for that or if our grandchildren will be for that, but I do know it is coming. And we are seeing things happen right now in this our day. We're seeing things globally that I have never seen before. I'm not trying to get on the political scale or the world scale of stuff, but there is an evil in the world that I don't know how bad it had to get for Noah in his day, but if you look at the circumstances, their heart, their mind was continually on evil. Everybody did what was right in their own imagination, in their own heart. They didn't fear God. They didn't follow God. They were just wicked. And I don't know what kind of, because the Bible doesn't get into any gory details besides that. And I know folks will say, well, you'll know when the angels are doing it with the children of sons, daughters of God, and they're Nephilim born. I don't know if we'll know that, but I do know that we are living in the evilest day that I have ever seen in history.
You know, are a lot of the pastors just hirelings now? I mean, I was talking to a friend of mine. I can't judge them.
Right.
But all I know is that there's very few churches that are actually even giving
A warning.
A warning to their flock.
Yeah.
No, they don't even know what's going on. Yeah. This to me is like it's mind numbing to me. I just can't believe it. Yeah. And I'm not talking about going down a slippery slope and becoming totally caught up in it. But
right.
I mean, every once in a while, don't you think people? Are the,
yeah. Hey, I hear you. Go ahead.
Randy and Debbie that were.
Yes.
In, you know, Randy said he didn't understand why we're so confused. He says, because there's a Church of Christ, and then there's a world's church.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
And you're either in the Church of Christ, or you're in the world's church.
Yeah.
And that's what you see going on today.
Amen. You're right. It is.
And where are we?
Yeah. You're right. Where are we? There are those who fear God, and there are those who have no fear of God. There's those who respect His. Good figs and bad figs, right? Now, God set before Jeremiah this vision of two sets of figs, evil and good.
You know, I think about that scripture, he that fears God must believe what he is.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Why is that so important? Yeah. Because it is that hope that will help us to endure, because we believe there's something better.
Yeah.
We have to believe that if we're going to endure.
Yeah.
That man, that pastor that lost his 9-year-old,
yeah,
was quoted as saying that, you know, if our faith is what we say it is,
yeah,
she's with Jesus.
Right. Amen. Yeah.
It doesn't take away the sorrow or the grief or the loss.
Yep. The tears aren't going to stop.
But if our faith is real,
mm-hmm,
then well, no one could say that being with Jesus is not the very best thing that can happen.
Amen.
And that's in the spiritual.
I see so many born-again believers that are so afraid of death, mm-hmm, right? My aunt and uncle, Garland, he is absolutely afraid to die. And I said, well, you're born again. You know the Lord. Well, yeah, I know the Lord. And I said, well, don't you have faith that it's better? Right now, and I'm not saying we need to be running out in front of trucks to get there early, but no sense in being fearful about it. Death, where's your sting? Grave, where's your victory?
I remember when Cindy told Bill, are you a little jealous?
Yeah.
She actually asked her husband, she was dying. She asked her husband, are you a little jealous? And he said, actually, I am.
Yeah.
You're going to be with Jesus.
Right. It's, and I'm stuck here.
Becoming
yeah.
Sight.
Yeah. And knowing this, that there are good fish and there are bad fish. Right? And there are two churches, like Jim was saying. There's the church that follows the lust of their own heart, belongs to the prince of the power of this air, Lucifer himself, and the devils. They belong there. And then there's those who are in this world with those. It's where Jesus talked about the tares amongst the wheat, right? They grow together until the time of the harvest, and then there's a separating, a gleaning, and the wheat's brought one way and the tares are brought another way. And we're going to, good figs, bad figs, good fish, bad fish, right? Yeah, all of those parables, all of those things that Jesus was talking. And there is a clear dividing line, like Kevin was talking or asking about. Doesn't it seem like most Bible-believing churches aren't even warning their people about, or even talking about it?
It's just candid conversation.
Yeah, yeah, we're talking about the hockey game, or you know, this thing or the other thing. Yeah, my mind went to a Casting Crown song, and I can't call the whole thing because I really don't listen to them that much anymore. But when I was into them, it's about witnessing to his friend, and this might be my last chance to tell him about Christ, and we talk about the weather, we talk about the ball game, we talk about this, we talk about that, and I'm going to miss the opportunity to tell my friend about Jesus. And even if they don't want it, we still got to tell them. Even if they hate us for it, we still got to tell them. When we talk to them about hell, there ought to be tears in our eye and a true fear for their soul. Not like, woohoo, I'm born again, you're not. It's going to be hot where you're going. You know, a true brokenness when we speak to people about stuff like that. But we got to tell them, and you're right. Now, what is it, Ezekiel 33 or Ezekiel 3, where he calls him the watchman on the wall? And so you're a watchman on the wall. And when you see the storm come, when you see the danger coming, you've got to sound the alarm. And whether they accept it or not. But if you don't sound the alarm, that's what scares me along with you, Kevin, the pastors that are not sounding the alarm. They're doing like they were in Noah's day. They were marrying and giving in marriage. They were just living life. As long as I get to Wegmans on time, you know, and I can buy my pre-cooked chicken, you know, filled with steroids and everything else, you know. Right? Yeah, I know we do, yeah. And so.
And nobody look at my chickens for that.
Okay? For that, no. Uh-uh. We'll wait until they die, and then we'll come pluck them. Yeah, there you go. We'll do eggs, but never eat your pets. Right. So, or actually, what I was told by my grandpa is never have a pet that you can't eat. So, and sounds like a plan. You can love your cow, but call him steak.
Call him Stewie.
Oh, praise God! Love you guys. Anyone want to close in prayer this evening? Floor is open. Anybody? Go ahead, brother.
Dear Heavenly Father, we walk by faith and not by sight. And I think the instruction that you gave the children of Israel from the part of Judah, that you were going to place them in the land of the Chaldeans for their good.
Yeah.
The Jewish people who were in Jerusalem and walked by faith understood. I think they understood exactly that was your instruction, and it was for the good. And you wanted them to go into bondage for their good. The stuff that's happening here, Lord, and it's just such parallels in this book that they're enormous. The stuff that's happening now is ultimately it's for our good. This can't continue. The rank evil and wickedness of men must come to an end, or as Jesus said, if you didn't return, there'd be no life, there'd be no life. So, Lord, I pray, Lord, that we walk by faith and not by sight. I pray that we would walk abiding in you and not grieving or quenching your Holy Spirit. That we would understand where to go, where to turn, where to walk, where not to walk, Lord. Be led of your Spirit. Let us not, Lord, find ourselves in sin. Because sin is abounding now. It's just, it's everywhere. And it's so easy to fall into sin. And help us to walk in righteousness and holiness. Help us to abide in you, Lord, because the church is being judged. Judgment will begin at the house of God.
Yes.
And where's the end of it going to be for them? It's going to start with us. We're your children, and Lord, it's only fitting that you would start cleaning your house up first. And it's ultimately, Lord, this world is temporary, and eternity's coming. And 10,000 times 10,000 times 10,000 years from now, this will be, Lord, such a faint memory. I don't even know if we'll even.
I won't remember it.
Maybe it'll be taken away too. But what matters most, Lord, is you are the great all in all, and there is nothing else. It's I must abide in you. I must dwell in the holy, and I must walk totally dependent upon you more and more in this day. I think that's what really is so important for us all to understand. As the days go darker, it is more and more necessary that we walk in your fear, and we walk, Lord, in holiness with you, closer to you than we've ever been before, as the days just go get increasingly more bizarre and strange and reckless and dangerous, Lord. Give us wisdom. Help us to understand, Lord, sometimes your ways are not our ways. And sometimes we don't understand, just like your proclamation to Jerusalem. I'm going to go to the Chaldeans and I'll take care of you. And that didn't make a whole lot of sense to some people, but that was your counsel. And that was your ways and my own ways. And Father, there may be days coming up soon, because there'll never be a day like it, nor has been, Lord. There's going to be things that are going to happen. We need wisdom, Lord. We need to be ready. And as Pastor has said, ready. We need to be ready for what's coming. And I pray, Lord, do work in all our lives, Lord. And I pray in me, sometimes, Lord, that the hardness of heart, just that hard show of stiff-neckedness, Lord. And I pray you break me of it, Lord. But I pray you break. Help me, Lord. Help me. I don't know if sometimes, Lord, but my old nature isn't worth helping. I want to your nature, Lord. I just want to be just birthed day by day in you, and just become a newer creation. Lord, I pray. Thank you, Lord, for all you've given us. Thank you for the word that Curtis preached, and Lord, I just praise you and thank you. Keep us healthy. Give us a safe trip, homes. And I pray, Lord, for, I mentioned David.
Yeah.
I pray for Dave's going to the Cleveland Clinic, Lord.
And yes.
Just pray, Father, that wisdom would be given to the doctors and to the just the different results of tests. And tests to be given that maybe some doctor would be, Lord, enlightened and take maybe, Lord, that different track that isn't thought about by so many of the standard medical procedures, that, Lord, you just give a deeper wisdom and understanding, and, Lord, that the helps that would come from his time there would be a great use. And Lord, that his health would be, Lord, made better. And Lord, I even pray that totally healed.
Yes, Jesus granted.
I pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Amen.